Blog Talk Radio.
Just a little old-fashioned karma coming down. A little old-fashioned justice going round. A little bit of laughing and a little bit of weeping. A little bit of sorrowing and a little bit of weeping. Just a little old-fashioned karma coming down.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Tea Pot Party and I endorse
Gatewood's Legacy Group on Facebook and at gatewoodslegacy.com.
Gatewood would be proud too.
It really ain't hard to understand. It's just a little old-fashioned karma coming down.
Welcome to the Gatewood Legacy Radio. I'm your host, Codas, and our lovely and beautiful co-host, Miss Jolene, is not here with us today. So you'll have to join in every day and listen to make sure when Jolene's going to be here and not. But thank you, folks. We're going to get started with our birthdays. My birthdays is kind of slow trying to come up. Let's see on the birthdays. Birthdays today, we have Trista Collins Goodrich. Happy birthday, Miss Trista. Note her all her life. James Howard, happy birthday to you. Porter Muncie, happy birthday to you. Joshua Alexandra down there in Berea, happy birthday to you. And Miss Candy Potoski. Potoski, I always say her name wrong, and Miss Candy loves me, and she says I can say her name wrong, so she's up there in Michigan. Happy birthday, Miss Candy. Rick Richardson, happy birthday to you. Dwayne Curran, happy birthday to you. Mike Davis, happy birthday to you. And David Bambick, happy birthday to you. That is all of my Facebook family and friends' birthday, and that was a lot. It's actually a beautiful, sunny 60 degrees, and it's November the 14th. It's like, man, hard to believe, November the 14th. And here it is. It's, this nice and stuff outside. I'm not going to complain. We're all, President Obama is actually live right now. Let's listen to, I want to hear what he's been saying. So let's listen to what he's saying. Probably won't be much more of it left, but let's listen to what's left of it.
Wrestle with, in the same way that every president wrestles with. I did say to him, as I've said publicly, that because of the nature of the campaigns and the bitterness and ferocity of the campaigns, that it's really important to try to send some signals of unity. And to reach out to minority groups or women or others that were concerned about the tenor of the campaign. And I think that's something that he will want to do. But this is all happening real fast. He's got commitments to supporters that helped to get him here, and he's going to have to balance those. Over the coming weeks and months and years, my hope is that those impulses ultimately went out. But it's a little too early to start making judgments on that.
You find qualifications? Has that changed after meeting with him?
I think that he successfully mobilized a big chunk of the country to vote for him, and he's going to win. He has won. He's going to be the next president. Regardless of what experience or assumptions he brought to the office, this office has a way of waking you up. And those aspects of his positions or predispositions that don't match up with reality, he will find shaken up pretty quick, because reality has a way of asserting itself. And some of his gifts that obviously allowed him to execute one of the biggest political upsets in history, those are ones that hopefully he will put to good use on behalf of all the American people. Scott Horsley.
Thank you, Mr. President. You're off to Europe, which is facing some of the same populist pressures we see at work in this country. When you spoke at the UN, you talked about the choice they're facing between integration and building walls.
Right.
What choice do you think the American people made last week? And is there still a chance for what you call a course correction before Europeans make some of their choices?
I think the American people recognize that the world has shrunk, that it's interconnected, that you're not going to put that genie back in the bottle. The American people recognize that their careers or their kids' careers are going to have to be more dynamic, that they might not be working at a single plant for 30 years, but they might have to change careers. They might have to get more education. They might have to retool or retrain. And I think the American people are game for that. They want to make sure that the rules of the game are fair. And what that means is that if you look at surveys around Americans' attitudes on trade, the majority of the American people still support trade. But they're concerned about whether or not trade is fair and whether we've got the same access to other countries' markets as they have with us. Is there just a race to the bottom when it comes to wages and so forth? Now, I made an argument thus far unsuccessfully that the trade deal we had organized, TPP, did exactly that, that it strengthened workers' rights and environmental rights, leveled the playing field, and as a consequence would be good for American workers and American businesses. But that's a complex argument to make when people remember plants closing and jobs being offshore. So part of what I think this election reflected was people wanting that course correction that you described. And the message around stopping surges of immigration, not creating new trade deals that may be unfair, I think those were themes that played a prominent role in the campaign. As we now shift to governing, my argument is that we do need to make sure that we have an orderly, lawful immigration process, but that if it is orderly and lawful, immigration is good for our economy. It keeps this country young. It keeps it dynamic. We have entrepreneurs and strivers who come here and are willing to take risks, and that's part of the reason why America historically has been successful. It's part of the reason why our economy is stronger and better positioned than most of our other competitors, is because we got a younger population that's more dynamic. When it comes to trade, I think, you know, when you're governing, it'll become increasingly apparent that if you were to just eliminate trade deals with Mexico, for example, well, you've got a global supply chain. The parts that are allowing auto plants that were about to shut down to now employ double shifts is because they're bringing in some of those parts to assemble out of Mexico. And so it's not as simple as it might have seemed. And you know, the key for us, when I say us, I mean Americans, but I think particularly for progressives, is to say, your concerns are real, your anxieties are real. Here's how we fix them. Higher minimum wage, stronger worker protection so workers have more leverage to get a bigger piece of the pie. Stronger financial regulations, not weaker ones. Yes to trade, but trade that ensures that these other countries that trade with us aren't engaging in child labor, for example. Being attentive to inequality and not tone deaf to it, but offering prescriptions that are actually going to help folks in communities that feel forgotten. That's going to be our most important strategy. And I think we can successfully do that. People will still be looking to the United States. Our example will still carry great weight. And it continues to be my strong belief that the way we are going to make sure that everybody feels a part of this global economy is not by shutting ourselves off from each other, even if we could, but rather by working together more effectively than we have in the past. Martha Raddatz.
Thanks, Mr. President. Given some of the harsh words you had about Mr. Trump, calling him temporarily unfit to be commander-in-chief, did anything surprise you about President-elect Trump when you met with him in your office? And also, I want to know, does anything concern you about a Trump president?
Well, we had a very cordial conversation, and that didn't surprise me to some degree because I think that he is obviously a gregarious person. He's somebody who I think likes to mix it up and to have a vigorous debate. You know, what's clear is that he was able to tap into, yes, the anxieties, but also the enthusiasm of his voters in a way that that was impressive. And I said so to him because I think that to the extent that there were a lot of folks who missed the Trump phenomenon, I think that connection that he was able to make with his supporters that was impervious to events that might have sunk another candidate, that's powerful stuff. I also think that he is coming to this office with fewer set hard and fast policy prescriptions than a lot of other presidents might be arriving with. I don't think he is ideological. I think ultimately he's pragmatic in that way. That can serve him well as long as he's got good people around him and he has a clear sense of direction. Do I have concerns? Absolutely. Of course I've got concerns. You know, he and I differ on a whole bunch of issues. You know, the federal government and our democracy is not a speedboat. It's an ocean liner, as I discovered when I came into office. It took a lot of really hard work for us to make significant policy changes, even in our first 2 years when we had larger majorities than Mr. Trump will enjoy when he comes into office. And you know, one of the things I advised him to do was to make sure that before he commits to certain courses of action, he's really dug in and thought through how various issues play themselves out. I'll use a obvious example where
Welcome
we have a
to the show, Pioneer Paula. Do you feel like that the president struggles on talking? I feel like he struggles on answering the questions when the media, he's still live. But, you know, my thing is, you know, he's not even speaking for over 40 minutes. He's still speaking right at the moment. And he's never once told these young people to stop rioting. Now, he has said that the election's over with. You know, it's over with. It is what it is. There's no change in that, you know. But, you know, you would think that he would say something about the rioting, you know. And I just think he struggles on speaking. I mean, man, I'm not good at speaking either, but, man, I mean, damn, he really sucks at speaking.
He did what it wasn't already written out for him, didn't he?
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, he's just, to me, he just really struggles on answering any of the questions that they asked him. He just lags it on and on, and it's like, you know, he just draws it out, you know, and makes it long and complicated and hard to understand what he's even saying to me. I mean, that's
well,
just
I've
my
been
opinion on it.
Yeah, I've been raking leaves. He's not worthy of my eyes. I'm sorry. I've got things to do. And I don't know that
right.
I can. If it's not AET, I won't be able to get it anyway.
Right.
I don't think.
Did you happen to have any birthdays, Paula?
Yes, one. My cousin's husband, Dave Kennedy. They live in Texas now. Happy Hempy birthday, old man.
Oh, absolutely. Happy birthday.
He's older than me. Yeah, he's older than me, so I can say that.
Oh. I thought it was a great opportunity for us to be able to play some of the president live there up on the show. You know, how cool is that? That's the first time we've ever got to do that. And like I say, he's still live. But, you know, we're winding down. Yeah, we've only got 3 minutes left before we've got to do our song. And I feel like he's not really saying anything that's worth me even listening to. You know, of course, there's only 327 people listening to him live on this one station where I was listening to him at. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have that many numbers on other places. But, yeah, he just...
I had actually walked away from the phone because I really wasn't interested in what he was saying.
Yeah, it was just really hard for me to understand what he's saying, you know. I mean, at least he is saying nice stuff about Trump, you know. I do give him credit about that. But, I mean, you know. I mean, why say something bad about the man? The man's won, like he said. You know, he's won.
Suck it up and deal with it.
Well, that's pretty cool. Tennessee is demanding to become a ballot initiative state.
Why don't we demand that?
Right, and why couldn't we? I mean... I've said that before. What do we do to become a ballot initiative state? We definitely need to be a ballot initiative state.
All right. I'm going to have to ask some Take Back Kentucky folks how we do that.
Yes, Paula, that's a good thing. Ask Gary Thornell to get that out there for us to find out to how we become a ballot initiative state. Because, I'm surprised Gatewood didn't work on that.
Well, what I'm thinking is, seems like I've asked before, that the process is so enduring and so complicated that the legislators have got it where it almost won't happen. But I don't know. That was a long time ago when I talked to him about it.
Right. Yeah, well, things are changing.
Right. Right.
So, yeah,
and
maybe
I am
we
not
can get
that. At all in Frankfurt. Not at all. My representative won't represent me, and my freaking senator, Danny Carroll, won't represent me.
Oh, wow.
They don't care about the line. And one's a Republican and one's a Democrat.
Wow. Ain't that funny?
Yeah.
One on each side of the fence there.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, the true colors shows on people eventually.
Yep. Yep.
You know, the true colors show.
Sure, I know my representative. Well, of course, he's not happy that Greg Symbol's not the Speaker of the House. He's already complaining and already blaming the Republicans for cannabis not getting legal. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Well, the Republicans have just now got in there, so we're going to find out what they're going to do.
Exactly. So how do we know? We already know that the Republican governor is for it. So,
right.
I mean, that was just stupid statement too. And he goes, you need to talk to the new Speaker of the House. I'm like, well, I will.
All right, it's 5 o'clock. It's
I'm
5 o'clock somewhere. It's 4:20 here, but Don Meter will be back in 2 minutes and 26 seconds. Here we go.
Puff, puff, puff.
They're getting off of work. I'm getting on my boat. Right now it's happy hour. I'm lighting up a smoke. The world keeps turning. And I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere and 4:20 here. I learned a long time ago, for me, alcohol is not the buzz of my choice. I'll have a smoke while you have a beer.
Yeehaw, what a badass little song that is. Thank you, Don Mueller of Doylestown, Tennessee, and Pat Riley.
You know, I ain't seen nothing on Facebook about President Obama speaking right now. Not
really?
Nothing. Yeah, not nothing.
Oh, wow. Friday made the 13th anniversary of Phil Pendleton working for WKYT and things. So big shout out to you, Phil Pendleton. I like Phil. Badass Phil. Badass. Well, I tell you, I've had to unfollow several people. Didn't want to, but I've had to unfollow some people. And,
Isn't that fun, though? It's just, I'm having fun with that.
And so I'm not seeing any of that stuff now.
I'm seeing less and less of it.
You know, I'm like you. I mean, it seems like, and what few people that I didn't unfollow on it, they're finally moving on with other things, you know, and talking about other things. So, you know, which is great because, life goes on. Yeah, life goes on. Yeah, it's time. Paula, what is your weather today like?
It is now 64, sunshiny. It was cold this morning, but I did get the electric heater fixed up, and I had a pleasant surprise from Christina and my little pumpkin, so I got to rock my little pumpkin in a nice,
aww,
cozy little warm dining room, so that was sweet. Like two nights ago, I finally got it to, you know, up all night, one of them deals, so you can have heat without the stove part. The
well,
stove
good.
Is still got firewood in it, like I was going to start a fire last winter. And it's like, fuck, it's all got to be, everything's got to be took out and it's all got to be cleaned. And I just ain't ready for that chore.
Well, my baby even made a funny meme, you know, I mean, posted a meme about how I am when it starts getting cold. And he said he should have shared the story when we went through the Bojangles drive-thru. I'm dressed up on Friday afternoon for like Alaska in a blizzard in Alaska. You know, he's sitting over there, you know, he's all got a little thin jacket on, you know, he's all cool, calm and collective. I'm over here freezing to damn death, and to the point to where the guy even asked us through the drive-thru window, he says, "You aren't cold, are you?" Yes, I am freezing, you know, or I would not be dressed like that. Or I'm trying to not freeze. That's the main thing. I'm trying to not freeze. I'm not going to get cold.
I hate being cold. Forever to get warm.
Oh, yeah, that's me too, Paula. Me too. It's like, ugh. You know, I want to be... Yeah, you can always put on enough clothes to stay warm, you know, and if you start getting hot, pull some of them off, you know.
That's what I do. I do. And I've been bundling up, going outside and raking, and then that gets your body heat going. So that helps.
Yep. Yep. Big shout out to Jeff Oakley, man. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Jeff Oakley, man. I mean, man, big congratulations. You know, they've got a, it's not, it's, everybody knows what a walking park is, but this is a wheelchair walk thing where they can, if you're handicapped and things. It's at the Lake Barkley Trail. It opened up for people that are handicapped with a wheelchair. You can get out and enjoy a walk in your wheelchair. How cool is that?
That is just great.
You know, we need to have more trails and more places opened up for the disabled to get out there and enjoy that and stuff. You know,
right? Because no better medicine than nature.
Right, Red River Gorge would be a perfect little place to set up and do something for the disabled to let them be able to go through there, you know, on the trails and enjoy the natures of that instead of having to go. I mean, cause I mean that's down there in the western part of Kentucky. You know, there's a lot of disabled people in Lexington, Louisville, Bowling Green. I mean, you know, we want these people to get, I mean, hell, stop letting these people dry up. Let's give them an opportunity and a chance to be able to get out there. And if they want to enjoy nature, they can enjoy nature just, you know, just like we can, you know. I think it'll give something back to them, you know. If it's just a little bit of enjoyment, that's that much. You know, an enjoyment of not being, what am I going to do today? Well, fuck, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down. You know.
Yeah,
great
I'm
going to
go out there.
Congratulations. All right, I want to thank everybody out there who's shared the show, listened to the show.
Superman
is tonight. What, honey?
The Superman is tonight.
Oh, Supermoon tonight, absolutely. Everybody check the Supermoon out. It'll be a long time before it ever comes back. Thank you, Pioneer Paula, as always, for being with us. God bless everybody. Love you, and we'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Love you, too. Have a good evening.
Just a little old-fashioned karma coming down. A little old-fashioned justice going round. A little bit of laughing and a little bit of weeping, a little bit of sorrowing and a little bit of weeping. Just a little old-fashioned karma coming down.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse
Gatewood's Legacy Group on Facebook and at gatewoodslegacy.com.
Gatewood would be proud, too.
It really ain't hard to understand. It's just a little old-fashioned karma coming down.